Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 20, Text Number 23. Rasam Akasta Angri Tale Ataha Padayo Mahim Mahidran Janghayo Patatrina Januni Murte Vishvamurte Orvo Marutam Indrasena. Rasam makastangri taleta padayo Mahim mahim dran purushasya janhayo Patatrino januni Patatrino januni vishvamurter Orvorganam marutam indrasena Rasam makastangri taleta padayor Mahim mahidran purushasya janghayo Patatrino januni vishvamurter Orvorganam marutam indrasena Rasam makastangri taleta padayor Mahim mahidran purushasya janghayo Patatrino januni vishvamurter Orvorganam marutam indrasena Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. Vaishnavis. Rasam, the lower planetary system. Akasta, observed. Angritale, beneath the feet or on the soul. Ata, thereafter. Padayo, on the feet. Mahim, the surface of the land. Mahidran, the mountains. Purushasya, of the giant personality of Godhead. Janghayo, on the calves. Patitrina, the flying living entities. Januni, on the knees. Vishvamurte, of the form of the gigantic Lord. Orvo, on the thighs. Ganam, Marutam. Sorry. Ganam, Marutam. Varieties of air. Indrasena. Bali Maharaj, who had obtained the soldiers of King Indra, and who was situated in the post of Indra. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, Bali Maharaj, who was occupying the seat of King Indra, could see the lower planetary systems, such as Rasatala, on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form. He saw on the Lord's feet the surface of the globe, on the surface of his calves all the mountains, on his knees the various birds, and on his thighs the varieties of air. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The universal situation is described herein in regard to the complete constitution of the Lord's gigantic universal form. The study of this universal form begins from the soul. Above the soles are the feet. Above the feet are the calves. Above the calves are the knees. Above the knees are the thighs. Thus, the parts of the universal body, one after another, are described herein. The knees are the place of birds, and above them, above that, are various varieties of air. The birds can fly over the mountains, and above the birds are varieties of air. Om Aginati Madam Dasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasma Shigadavena Maha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadanti Kam. So today is the appearance day and disappearance day of five different great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So I think I'll start by just trying to say something very briefly about each one of them. The first one is just the appearance day of Pundarik Vijaniti. Pundarik Vijaniti is, in Krishna Leela, is Vrishabhanu, the father of Radharani. And in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, he was a very great devotee. He lived very opulently, and he was misunderstood, I believe it was by Gadadhar Pandit. And I can't remember that pastime very clearly, but there was different occasions where he would, you know, devotees went to see him. He was there in all his opulence, and even advanced devotees thought he was just, how is this person an advanced devotee? He seems like a Vishayi from the way he was living. But he was, you know, absorbed in the ecstasies, the highest understandings of Krishna, and at different times he manifested that. And there is one amazing pastime, but I can't remember the details well enough to retell it. Raghunandan Thakur, I believe, was the devotee whose father was worshipping a deity of Krishna. Mukunda Dutt was his father. And so he had to go someplace, and he asked his son, "You make the offering, you know, make sure Krishna eats." So he was just a young boy, and so he thought, you know, okay, I'll do the offering. And when he went to offer it to Krishna, he offered it, and all the boga was still there. So he was getting all upset. He was thinking, well, Krishna, you have to eat, otherwise I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. Anyway, apparently the deity actually physically, if that's the correct word, ate the offering. And when his father came back, at one point he saw this going on, and he realized, oh wow, my son is up, obviously a great devotee of Krishna, because on his reciprocating with his desire, Krishna is actually, you know, physically taken the offering. So that's I think the most famous pastime in connection with him. Raghunath Das Goswami, everybody knows, one of the six Goswamis, famous for many things, famous for his renunciation, famous for, I think it's described that he executed the regulative principles like lines upon a stone. He was very rigid. He offered obeisances to, I think it was 1,000 devotees every day, something like that. 1,000 devotees every day. He was chanting 100,000 names, and he used to do Dandabhat Parikram around Govardhan Hill. Very, exemplary Vaishnav, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is always praying at the end of each chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, "I pray for the mercy of Rupa Raghunath." So he's acknowledged as being an extremely highly advanced devotee. Vishnu Priya Devi was one of Lord Chaitanya's two wives. I can't remember if she was the first or the second. I believe the second. I think it was Vishnu Priya, though, where she was famous for the practice of, she would chant. And every time she chanted one round, she would put a grain of rice. And then however many rounds she chanted that day, however many grains of rice she moved across, that's what she would eat that day. She was like, throughout her entire life, she was experiencing separation from Lord Chaitanya, who took sannyas at 24 years old. I believe she was the second wife, actually. So she was very advanced devotee and always feeling separation from Lord Chaitanya. That was her practice. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is famous probably for that. Prabhupada used to always, in the Bhagavad Gita, in one purport, Prabhupada quotes that verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, whose song we sing every morning when we're singing, not the samsara prayers, but the Gruvastikam prayers. They were composed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Prabhupada quotes him in the purport in the Bhagavad Gita, that verse, Vyavisayatmaka Buddha, Ekeha Kudanandana, Bahushakahi Anantascha, Buddhayam Vyasayanam, that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. But the minds of those who are irresolute is many branched. And Prabhupada quotes him and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the purport about how we have to be fixed on the instruction of the spiritual master, and it's by the mercy of the spiritual master that we get Krishna. And also he's famous as being a very rasik acharya. He wrote various literatures about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And some Vaishnavs say that he's actually was an incarnation of Rupa Goswami. That's also out there. And I don't know how much it was confirmed, but that's sometimes you hear that. So that's those different great personalities. And so today's the appearance day of the first four, and there was this disappearance day of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So it's a very special day, a lot of mercy in the atmosphere. So we should really try to take a moment to pray for the special mercy of these Vaishnavs today. So on the verse, Well, it's talking about the universal form. And this, I guess different ways this could be approached, but there's one nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita that helps kind of helps us understand this in a certain way. Krishna says in the ninth chapter, Avajananti mamudha manushim tanamashrita param bhavam ajanato mamabhuta maheshwaram. He says, fools deride me when I descend in this human form because they think that I'm an ordinary human being. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that day. See? So, point being that it's very hard. It's very hard for people to even believe that there's God in any way, shape, or form. You know, most people to these days don't even believe that there is a being. Forget about like appearing like an ordinary human being, but any kind of being that is ultimately responsible and in control of everything. Because when you're talking about God, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about some sort of being or entity. Let's even broaden it out. Entity that's ultimately responsible and totally in control of everything and aware of it. Woo! That's like really, you know, that's a lot. So for most people, that's hard. And then, if you want to put on top of that, that being or entity appears like an ordinary human being, you know, that's even like stretching it further. And to say that that's his original form, that's originally what that being is, you know, a person who apparently appears like an ordinary human being. Wow, that's really something. That's, you know, it's kind of like hard. And that's what Krishna says. Krishna admits it. Right here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, fools deride me when I descend in my human form because they don't know that I'm Supreme Lord. It's you know, not an easy thing for people to understand. And Prabhupada, in the purport to that verse, says this. He says, foolish persons, however, cannot conceive that the personality of Godhead Krishna, appearing just like an ordinary man, can be the controller of all the atoms and the gigantic manifestation of the universal form. Let's mention the universal form there. The biggest and the minutest are beyond their conception, so they cannot imagine that a form like that of a human being can simultaneously control the infinite and the minute. But, this is me speaking now, but that's what's happening. You know, that's what's happening. A form like that of a human being is simultaneously controlling the infinite and the minute. Wow, I mean, that's really pretty far out. Actually, although he is controlling the infinite and the finite, he is apart from all this manifestation. It is clearly stated concerning his yogam aishram, his inconceivable transcendental energy, and that he can control the infinite and the finite simultaneously, and that he can remain aloof from them. Although the foolish cannot imagine how Krishna, who appears like a human being, can control the infinite and the finite, those who are pure devotees accept this, for they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they completely surrender unto him and engage in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord. So, yeah, this is an amazing thing, that Krishna, a person whose name is Krishna, who appears like an ordinary human being, is controlling every atom, is controlling the universal form, and it's a well-kept secret, actually. Prabhupada says in another purport, I think it's in the seventh chapter, the purport to that verse, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudoyam nabijanati lokomam ajmaviyam, that I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. To them, I'm always covered by my internal potency, yoga maya. So he Prabhupada, you know, also elaborates upon that in the purport, saying that actually when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, if I could find it very quickly, he's saying he was manifest, but he wasn't understood. Prabhupada explains it was only the Bhishma, Kunti, the Pandavas, and I think at least in a lecture, he says, and a handful of others that understood who Krishna was. So this is like a, you know, it's a very great blessing to be able to come to be to the point of where of accepting, at least even initially in theory, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna acknowledges that earlier in that same seventh chapter. He says, Bahunam janmanam ante, gyanavamam papajate, vasudeva savamiti samahatma sadrulabha, that after many births and deaths, one who's actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate to be being given the chance to be devotees of Krishna. Right? This is actually the highest perfection of life. And we should always remember that. There's a very, in the eighth chapter, text 15, there's a verse, let me find this real quick. It's a famous verse. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. So in the purport to that, Prabhupada, you know, Krishna, in that verse 719, he refers to the devotees who have finally surrendered him as Mahatmas. So here Prabhupada uses that same word. He says the Mahatmas. In other words, the people, the devotees, you know, people have decided, made that decision to accept Krishna as the cause of all causes and all that is and surrender unto him. That's Mahatma, okay? So it says here, the Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Now, the realized devotees is like people like Prabhupada and the predecessor Acharyas. They gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets. In other words, you lose your material desires as a result of associating with, you know, a great devotee, a Mahabhagavat, Nichasiddha devotee like Srila Prabhupada, hearing from him and following his instructions. You lose your material desires. It's ado shraddha tato sadhu sangha tata bhajana kriya anartana vritti syat. That's Rupa Goswami outlines that process in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the fourth stage is you become free from all unwanted anartas and material desires. And then it goes on, and that's why it is that the devotees no longer desire elevation to any material planet. It says, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. So, in other words, by hearing from the pure devotees, you reawaken your dormant love for Krishna. And when that happens, you don't even desire elevation to any, as Prabhupada says, you don't even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. You're just happy to be engaged in pure devotional service. And how that is, well, Lord Chaitanya actually, you know, talks about that in the Shashastakam prayers. He says, Nadanam Najanam Nasundadim Kavitam Ba Jagadisha Kamae Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Babatad Bhaktir Hoita Kitwai, that I have no desire to accumulate wealth, to enjoy beautiful women, to have any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service birth after birth. And by saying that birth after birth, he's indicating that he doesn't even desire moksha. He's not even desiring to be, as it says here, transferred to any spiritual planet. He's expressing that he's happy. His only desire is to be, you know, continuously engaged in devotional service, even if it's in this material world, even if it means, you know, birth after birth, coming back and taking birth again and again. And part of the reason for that, Prabhupada, is actually revealed by Prabhupada in the previous text in the purport. In the purport to the famous verse, for one who always remembers me without deviation, I'm easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. The third paragraph of this purport, Prabhupada says, the special qualification of the pure devotee is that he's always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering time and place. There should be no impediment. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and any time. Some say, here it comes, some say that a devotee should remain in a holy place like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived, or want to transfer back to one of the spiritual planets, you know, for that matter. But it says here, but a pure devotee can live anywhere. How is that? And create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. See? So that's the reason that when you get the mercy of the spiritual master, when you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that you're engaging in pure devotional service, then you're actually able to create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by your devotional service. That's why everybody was so attracted to Prabhupada. That's why Prabhupada was so successful, because he was a devotee on this level. You know, he didn't require to live in Vrindavan or some holy town, because you know he could live anywhere, and he created the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service, and because of that, so many people were attracted to him and wanted to become devotees. And this is confirmed by Advaitacharya. So it was Advaitacharya who told Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan." Okay? So that holds true not just for Lord Chaitanya, but for all, you know, these pure devotees like that. So times. Try to say a little something more. Actually, I thought I was scheduled for the 26th, but Archita had. That's why I'm seeming a little bit kind of choppy and unprepared. That's the reason. But okay, I'll stop because I'm kind of running out of thoughts here. Does anybody have any questions or comments about any of these points? Yeah.
For us, it doesn't matter where we end up, but every morning we pray to the Tulsi that we'd like to get residence in Rajai. So are we basically just leaving where we end up to Krishna's needs?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Let's go. O Tulsi, beloved of Krishna, I bow before you again and again. My desire is to tame... No, whoever takes shelter of you has his wish fulfilled, bestowing your mercy upon him. You make him a resident of Vrindavan. My desire is that you'll also grant me a residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Thus, within my vision, I will always behold the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I beg you to make me a follower of the cowherd dams of Braja. Please give me the privilege of devotional service and make me your own maid servant. This very fallen, lowly servant of Krishna prays, may I always swim in the love of Sri Sri Radha and Govinda. So one point that could be made there is that he's praying. The author of that song is that, please grant me a residence in the, you know, in the pleasure goes to Sri Vrindavan. It doesn't necessarily involve changing your geographical location. You know, Prabhupada was residing in Vrindavan, just like I just read. Advaitacharya is saying to Lord Chaitanya, wherever you are, O Lord, that is Vrindavan. You see? So you could be in Vrindavan and be here at the same time. You know, you can experience the fulfillment of that prayer, right, and still be right here, you know, in this temple room, or right here in New Dwarka or Los Angeles. It's a matter of consciousness. And, I mean, there is also, it's not like, you know, there's the spiritual world, of course, but you could be in the spiritual world and be here in this material world simultaneously if your consciousness gets elevated to the, you know, to the proper level. So to directly answer your question, yeah, we just leave it up to Krishna. All the devotee is really aspiring for is pure devotional service, ideally. I mean, there's Archita always kind of, usually when I make this point, he makes this point about, yeah, but it's in the beginning stages. We should desire to get out of the material, get out of the cycle of birth and death. And you can support that. You know, there's, I think, one verse in the 15th chapter where Prabhupada says, you know, one should be interested in this information. One should desire to, you know, disentangle himself. And so that's there too, but at least there's so many other statements which seem to indicate that a devotee should, you know, just be desiring pure devotional service and leave it up to Krishna whether you, you know, where you are. There's a nice verse, Nanayana Parasarve Nakutaschana Bidjati Svarga Pavarga Nardakeshu Apitulyata Darshana, that how the pure devotees, I think this is Lord Shiva speaking to his wife Parvati, saying the pure devotees, they're not worried about whether they're in heaven or in hell or whatever, you know. They're just happy to be engaged in Krishna service. They leave it up to Krishna where they, you know, whatever place, so-called place they might be. Because, as, once again, as Advaitacharya said, wherever, said to Lord Chaitanya, wherever you are, Lord, that is Vrindavan. So wherever pure devotee is, wherever he may be living, if he's engaged in pure devotional service, he creates the atmosphere of Vrindavan. And for that reason, he's not concerned, you know, where he is, like that.
And if I may, also in another portion, you mentioned that the perfection of life is being Lord Krishna's devotee. Does that mean that we can't experience any other or any greater pleasure than being a devotee, and therefore maybe having some mysteries uncovered to us because of being devotees?
Yeah, absolutely correct. You cannot experience any greater pleasure. There is no greater pleasure, and that's why you can't experience a greater pleasure. There is nothing greater than, in terms of pleasure, than being a pure devotee of Krishna. That's the highest, best experience a living entity can possibly have, the experience of pure devotional service to Krishna. But, okay, yeah.
Honorable Prabhu, thank you for your impromptu class. So, in Kali Yuga, the glorification of Krishna is through the activities also of his devotees. Lord Chaitanya's acts through the his angas, and that's you. So maybe you can share with us some nectar from your personal book distribution that you have done this past week. Real story, true story that really happened in Kali Yuga. This is in act. This is true story. Right now, you are distributing books, and this is nectar. Please share with us.
Wow, okay. I can't think of what's off the top of my head. Was there any really outstanding thing? Okay, well, it didn't really happen to me. Okay, I was standing next to the person it happened to. I was distributing at Pasadena City College, and I was standing there with Madhavendra Puri, and some Asian, you know, a young girl came up, and as she was walking towards us, Madhavendra Puri, he was quicker, and he said, "I'm giving books on meditation." And right away, as soon as, you know, like he said that, and he looked at it, and right away she was like that, you know. And she came over, and, you know, she had all different kind of misconceptions. She was interested, but she had all these different misconceptions. And Madhavendra Puri is actually a very good preacher. So he spent about 20 minutes with her, and I could see he was just kind of, you know, going over point by point by point. And she was just kind of like, just lapping it up, you know, just taking it all in. And it was very enlivening because, in other words, there are souls out there that are just completely, totally ripe for Krishna consciousness. He actually talked her into coming to the Bhakti house. Did she come? Girl with blue hair. Oh, she didn't make it. Okay. Anyway, but she was like... you know, she was so into it, and it was, you know, it just enabled me to see, we have to go out there. Krishna, there are people out there that are really ready for Krishna consciousness that are, you know, and we meet them. We meet people who, you know, when we try to give them a book, they just kind of smile at me. They go, I got the book from you. I said, oh, you're reading it? He says, yeah, I'm reading it. There's people out there that are appreciating. I mean, that girl was an example, but... there's all sorts of people out there that are appreciating. It's not like there's, you know, there are a lot, but it's like everybody. You know, we can't expect everybody. Like, I mean, I mentioned this in previous classes. Krishna says, Manushyanam Sahasrishu, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And then in a lecture, Prabhupada said, Krishna said that 5,000 years ago. Now it's Kali Yuga, so the proportion has increased. He said, you know, he said, Manushyanam Millionashu. So as we can't expect that we're, you know, every second person that we talk to is going to be like, wow, this is great. This is what I've been looking for. No, it's Kali Yuga. You know, we're here in the material world. But so we have to be very, you know, patient based on knowledge, understanding the philosophy that even, you know, Prabhupada's saying, one in a million. And then just, you know, keep at it. They are out there. They are out there. You know, the Balarams, the Shastrakrits, you know, they're this... they're out there. You know, there are more devotees out there, and our job is to just go out there as a matter of duty, to get out there as much as we possibly can, and give them, these people, the opportunity to come in contact, you know, with the devotional service. And Papa would always refer to this preaching activity. It's the best thing. Well, his spiritual master told him, I want you to go to the West and preach to the English-speaking people in their language. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for them. Simple statement, but very profound. That it's the best thing. It's the best thing we could do for ourselves. It's the best thing we could do for them. When they meet a devotee, you know, assuming they're meeting a devotee for the first time, that's the best moment of their life. That's the most important and the best moment of their life, when they meet you or this devotee or that on Sankirtan. It's the most important and the best moment of their life. And for us, Prabhupada said repeatedly, many different occasions, to be very quickly recognized by Krishna, preaching is the shortcut process. So that's what we're all about. We want to be recognized by Krishna. So it's an open secret. That's the way to do it. It's not just, you know, a way to be recognized by Krishna. It's not just a way to be quickly recognized by Krishna. Prabhupada says to be very quickly recognized by Krishna. So it's exactly what we want. It's the best opportunity for us, and it's the best opportunity for everybody else. It's like a total win-win activity, preaching Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Kuntraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Shastra Krita.